The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
Hello there.
You want the bad news?
Roger, roger.
The Force, it's calling to you.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
That's not how the Force works.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
This is madness.
Let the past die.
Kill it.
It's a trap!
Fulfill your destiny.
No!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the TSW Roundtable. Once again, I am your moderator, Robert Cass, and here we are with our fourth part in our Star Wars retrospective series. And of course, part four, chapter four, finally, A New Hope. The prequels are done, and I think with all my co-hosts and my special guests we had on for the prequels, if you want to check out the back catalog, check them out. We had a lot of excellent and very positive conversation, but here we are. The one that started it all. But I'm not alone. Today, I have some help from some friends around the Commonwealth. First, I'm going to introduce Adam. Now, Adam is Knight of the Commonwealth, but actually kind of former Knight of the Commonwealth, because he is the co-host of the Retro Inc. podcast, which has just now been announced as the latest member of the Star Wars Commonwealth, our 10th member. So, Adam, I think this is a promotion. Are you captain, or we would dare not say admiral? There's only a few of those around. But welcome. Anyway, welcome to the show, Adam.
Hello there.
Hello.
Adam Akbar.
Adam Akbar. Yes. Okay, well, Clone Wars Akbar, maybe. We don't want to be start throwing around rank here, especially me, because I'm not a showrunner for anything. I just happen to slip into the Commonwealth by talking to all the other members, so I don't know where I'd be. I'm on the outer rim somewhere, but we won't get into that. And well, thank you, Adam, and again, congratulations to the Retro-Indic podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a real honor, and it's a joy to be here.
Yes, welcome to the Commonwealth. So here we are. My other co-host is a good friend of mine. I had the actual pleasure of meeting last year, and I have some really funny stories that we will not bring up on this family-friendly podcast. Ben from the Skyhoppers.
How's it going?
Welcome back, Ben.
I love telling those stories, but you're right. Not the time or the place.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? There's nothing really. It's just kind of funny anecdotes that I think when you spend a few days at a celebration, you get a little loopy and say stuff that, you mean, is funny in the moment, but in hindsight, we're like, oh, Lord.
Exactly. Just maybe, oh, man, did I really say that?
Yeah.
That's just conventions in general, man. You know, I'm coming off of Gen Con last weekend.
Yes.
And that was, I swear, I feel like I'm still not caught up. This is the Sunday after Gen Con, and I'm still just like running on fumes, I think. Celebration is the same way.
It takes a minute to get back. I just got back, it was a couple weeks ago, from San Diego Comic-Con. And that was my first, it was like a bucket list thing, especially for me, international travel. I got to travel from, you mean close to Toronto, eh? So, yeah, but it took me, once even when I got off the plane and I got home and I got back to work and back in routine, you're still not quite home from the convention.
No.
You mean, like, you're going through the motions, but your brain hasn't quite caught up to you yet, so.
That's exactly how I'm feeling, so.
I know exactly how you feel. So, but again, my co-hosts, we're not alone. We have a Talk Star Wars VIP, JP, joining us all the way from the UK. So, JP, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Welcome. Welcome. This is awesome. JP. So you are going to be our listener reaction. Like, this is your point of view. If you let Adam and Ben and I ramble on, because we are quote-unquote professional podcasters, or How about we just say podcasters?
I was going to say, anyone who's listened to Skyhoppers know that we are anything but professional over there.
But here we go. So JP, you're going to be the voice of reason, and you're gonna be able to reel us in and be like, okay, guys, come on. Like,
wow. No one's ever called me the voice of reason before, ever.
Well, see, for Ben and I, it's the accent. We hear Adam and JP's accent, and we're like, well, they're very distinguished. They must
know what they're talking about.
we'll put on our best accents.
Well, it's a boot time. Sorry.
I don't have one. I hear that I have a southern accent that slips out if I get a little heated about something, but I'm from southern Indiana, so it doesn't really, like, count, you know?
No, who knows? It's weird because, of course, everybody listening would be like, oh, Ben has an American accent.
Yeah.
And you're
exactly,
like, wait,
exactly.
No. And I listen to you guys going, oh, Ben has an American accent. You guys have a UK accent. I'm like, I don't have an accent. Like,
you certainly do, sir.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I'm sure you do there, bud, there, huh?
All right.
So now we got the preliminaries all over. I'm going to start this off. I got to go around the table. I'm going to start with Adam. Where were you? A New Hope release, your first time viewing? Were you around when it came out? Real brief.
Certainly was.
What happened?
7 years old, 1977. So this would have been Christmas of that year, and was in the queue for the premiere in London. And I don't even remember it being particularly exciting because we had a proper trailer in the cinema. We didn't have the internet back then. So, I'd seen a film before that. I couldn't tell you what it was. Probably it's some movie in 1977 and the trailer was there. And that was enough. And you're sitting down and you see the 20th Century Fox fanfare play and you get Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You don't get New Hope, you just get Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I can verbatim remember the reel, if you want me to read it off my top of my head. It's a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their vast victory against the evil galactic empire. During the battle, rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the empire ultimate weapon. And reading that,
yes,
all going forward, and then the pan down and you see the tentative and this vast ship was just immense. The sound and the thing is, you didn't really need anything but what you saw to let you know where you were at within the film. I'd already received some Star Wars figures that Christmas. So I was all in, you know. I'd got my Luke and my Leia, my Chewie, my R2, my Ben Kenobi, my Vader. I didn't quite have the first 12 at that point. That came the following birthday of July 78 and Christmas of 78. But I was all in 100%. And before that it was Thunderbirds. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I guess you didn't have G.I. Joe over where you are.
No,
we didn't have the Great American Hero.
what it was, because we had Palitoy's version, which was Action Man.
But
it was Batman 77 that was huge for me, and 66. But before that, you know, it was purely and simply a case of just a little trailer. And in 77, when I saw it as 7 years old, which was apparently from George's bio, was the perfect age to see it.
Absolutely.
I was all in birthday. I was all in Christmas. And I still have all my vintage toys behind me on display.
Fantastic.
I'm
going to throw. Okay, so keeping on this thread, I'm going to throw it to JP first. I'm going to get your where were you, and then we're going to get a little we're going to get a little perspective when we talk to Ben. So JP, where were you? And did you just catch it, or was it part of your surroundings? What was going on when New Hope came out, or Star Wars?
For me, Star Wars or New Hope, Star Wars for me was something I found on TV, and for me, and as you probably can remember this, switching on to we only had like four channels back in the early 80s.
That's right.
You'd switch on ITV at Christmas time, and Christmas Day it would be on.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Christmas special hooked you into Star Wars. I was clenching my chest.
I've got to be honest, it is my favorite one of the Star Wars films.
Naturally, of course, yes.
Oh, God. But
New Hope, switching on, and always have this recollection of getting it, and it would just be at the stage where Luke and Leia were being attacked by the stormtroopers, and they had to cross the drawbridge, and it was so exciting and so tense, and I couldn't believe it. I was so thrilled by it at that point, and then it would cut to an advert break.
Oh man, I've got to wake. Well, that's awesome. It ties into like a Christmas memory where a lot of these nowadays you go on. I think it's Spike TV. Ben, I think it's close to us where they just roll it 24/7. I don't know if Disney's taken that off now. And
I think they are. There's definitely been some kind of I don't remember specifics, but I know there was like a discussion,
of course,
about that regarding who gets to play them on TV.
Well, it was in the UK. It premiered on Sunday, October the 24th in 1982 at 7:15 p.m.
Must have been
is this from memory or is this from are you
there? We go, mate. Yeah, I'm a nerd.
That's awesome. Okay, well, from one to the to another, born slightly later, Ben, what's your perspective on Star Wars to us, but New Hope for you?
It's a little hard for me because, you know, I was born in 93.
Right.
So, and it came back to the special edition came back to the theater in May of 97. And I was born in August, so I wasn't even quite 4 years old yet.
Right.
I feel like I always thought that it was just something that my mom, I know I went with my mom. I think it was just the two of us at that point. I always thought it was something that she just thought I might be into and took me to go see. Just as like kind of an early, you know, get used to going to the movies type thing. But then I asked her about it a couple of years ago. I was just like, well, what made you take me to see Star Wars? And she's like, well, you'd see the commercials and you wouldn't shut up about it. So I'm like, it was just kind of ingrained in me from birth, I think, that I was destined to kind of fall in love with this franchise. So I don't, being that young, I don't remember too much specifically. You know, it was all just kind of too much for me at that time.
Right.
The one thing I do remember very vividly is, and I know I've told the story on Skyhoppers before, is the Dianoga in the trash compactor.
Yeah.
I remember just being absolutely terrified of the Dianoga, and I would like during that scene, like after it popped its eye up and did like looks both ways and goes back down, I like got up on my chair and kind of sat on my feet because I'm just like, I need to be able to like spring out of the chair if that thing comes up through the movie theater seat, you know, and comes to get me. And I'm sitting there like that. And my mom's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just sitting here. I don't know what you're talking about. I was like a 3-year-old trying to play it off like nothing's different. It's just like, I just didn't want to admit that it's like, because I think I remember kind of thinking like, oh, if I say I'm afraid of this, she might make us leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, I can't have that happen because I just remember the emotions. And I remember being completely overwhelmed with how much I loved this thing that was in front of me. And that was, but of course, I didn't know anything about like the special edition changes or the fact that it's now A New Hope and not just Star Wars. So
it was just there. It was like, it's kind of like myself. I was born in 73. So as long as my whole life, man has been on the moon. It's just something that happens. But to my parents, they're like, oh, no, that was a big thing. It's like, well, of course man's on the moon. Like, it's just always been there. It's like Star Wars. It's just
same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's always been there for you. Well, that's awesome. Because your perspective with the release of the special editions, because I was at the exact same age you were when the special editions came out, when the original movie came out.
Yeah.
So our perspective is the same. I remember images. I know Ash and Tim are from the Nerd Room are going to grill me one more time. I went to see a new Star Wars at the drive-in with my parents in 1977. There, I said it. It's over. I know Ash actually wants to, if we do get a panel at this year's celebration or next year's celebration, Ash wants to ask me about that in front of a room full of people.
I love it. I hope so. I hope that happens for many different reasons.
So there we are. I've said it. Okay. I'm going to drop it now. Yes. So, but our perspectives were exactly the same because it was, I remember images. I remember loving it. And for me, it was, we're going to go on to the next kind of throw this around the round table about toys and collecting. Now, for me, as Adam started talking about, it was all about the toys. Now, I was able to, I remember on Christmas, the following Christmas that came out, I opened up a box and it was literally the 12 figures. And it was in a one box. So I think my parents signed up for that, you know, the Christmas. It wasn't the one Christmas where you give a, where you open up the box and it's just, it's, oh, here's what you're going to get. So that was in my house at one point. And then I remember vividly sitting at the kitchen table and then my parents come in because it was after Christmas. It was like, oh, look what came in for you. Opening this box and going, oh my God, and literally tearing into these packages on, right off the cards, this vintage 12-pack sealed. And you know, for me, I know there's a lot of collectors out there that are cringing thinking about this four-year-old kid just, oh, here. And that card back that you opened on Christmas is super valuable now, let alone the actual case. Not, it wasn't a case like
The early bird set.
Yeah, the early bird set. And so I had in – my parents picked it up at the store or it came in the mail or something, but I had that cellophaned Star Wars and then rip it up, open the box, throw the box away. There's my 12 action figures and just now you have them all. And – but you know what? I know that box as is would be worth a ton of money.
Well, the early bird set was four figures and it was in a white mail away box.
Okay, and that wasn't the same one. I had the one where they you got them all kind of thing. Like you just like opened it up and there was like, because there was Han, there's Chewie, there's Leia, there's R2, there's Luke, everybody was in there.
Your parents may well have picked pre-ordered those from a toy shop and they did them all as a big wave, which would be fantastic to receive at Christmas.
Well, because it was slightly, because I remember it was just slightly after, because that's why I'm thinking about that. You mean when they came out, Kenner couldn't keep up with the demand.
No demand.
But that's what I mean. So for me, opening this box, I know that box, if I didn't touch it, would be worth thousands today. But the joy I got from playing with those figures as a young man, like, and how much the joy I got from just opening them and having all these figures and being able to reenact the movie and everything else, it's worth that money to me.
Yeah.
You mean the memories of this, my Star Wars memories as a kid is worth ripping open those boxes and smashing your X-Wing into the Falcon for whatever reason you made up in your head, or you know what I mean, or like
go ahead, Rob.
No, I was just gonna say, I know people that got a Bespin Luke and just chopped the hand off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But,
I wanted to jump in and just kind of agree with you there. As someone who I don't know exactly if this is like a one-to-one thing. I guess it's pretty similar. Like, I play Magic the Gathering, the trading card game.
Okay.
And that game has been around, you know, since the early 90s. And there are a lot of cards in the game that haven't been printed and can't be reprinted.
Okay.
They, like Wizards of the Coast, the parent company, has said, like, for complicated reasons I'm not going to get into right now, they're not reprinting those cards ever again.
Right.
So every once in a while you'll see like on the news, at least here in the States, I don't know if you get that elsewhere, but you'll see it's like, oh, trading card sells for $15,000 or something. And it's usually a Magic card, almost always. And you actually just watched a video of a super early Magic tournament the other day where there are people that are like riffle shuffling these cards that nowadays are worth like, you know, 15 grand in perfect condition.
Yeah.
But it's, I kind of think of that as like, I look at that right now and I'm like, oh God, that's horrible. But in reality, it's like you got them to play the game. You know, it's like that I think is the true value of those cards. And you know what? If you find a Black Lotus that's like squirreled away in your basement or something, congrats.
Yeah.
You've got it. But I think at the same time, it's totally valid to just, as a kid, you just want to rip that stuff up. You're not thinking, the kids are not known for their like foresight and like, considering consequences of their actions.
Yes.
So And plus, who would have known at that point?
Exactly. Nobody
can
knew.
Can I just say that, you know, I've got a full set of the Topps trading cards from 77, 78.
Yeah.
And you can buy a full pack of 65 cards for around £50 to £60, which is what, maybe $70, $80.
Yep.
To get the complete set of those vintage cards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all going to be handled.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be obviously in their packets. And, I can't quite see why some of these cards go for that value when you've got original 40-year-old cards
for around
£50.
Exactly. So, but the cards were one of these things that people collected and put them in the card box or put elastic band around them and just put them in a box.
Yeah.
Like, do you have the C-3PO error card?
Yes.
You have it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I picked that up from a friend of mine who said, "Have you seen this? He's got a something at the front." And I said, "No, I haven't seen that before." And he said, "You can have it." So there we go.
Yeah, I got the same. Ben, do you know what card we're talking about?
I have no idea.
I will post it on your Discord because it's not something. Okay. It's not horrible.
P3PO basically has an extra arm somewhere where he shouldn't have an extra arm.
Basically, yeah.
He looks very happy. Should we just say he looks very happy?
he was okay. Okay, here's a story.
He looks pleased to have seen something.
Yes, Anthony Daniels was fooling around on set, and they placed something very phallic on 3PO, and then somebody took a set photo, and that photo made it into the card, the Topps trading cards, and it was the 3PO card. So. Exactly. Oh, no. It's okay, but Ben, I'll put mine in the Discord because of course I have it. Why wouldn't I?
Of course you do. Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's weird and you know what I mean, it's Star Wars, so it's right up my alley, I guess.
I respect it.
Yes. So we'll get onto that later. But that's exactly what happened with the cards. JP, so obviously toys, you were right in there with us. So did you?
Yeah.
Was this a big thing? Was this and also too back? I like my kids get spoiled. If I see something on the shelf, I'm like, oh, my kid would like that. I just grab it. But back, I guess I'm not saying back in my day. Yeah, back in my day, we only got something on birthdays and Christmas, and that was it. If you're lucky, like so.
Yeah.
Collecting was very hard. How did it go for you, JP?
It didn't really happen for me. You know, as you were saying, my parents weren't really into Star Wars or anything in that genre, so the only things I got were really hand-me-downs.
Okay,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I remember very fondly having the X-Wing with the R2-D2 and you push down on the head.
Oh, yes.
And the X-Wings, it popped up.
Yep.
I had one of those, and I think I had a couple of toys, but again, at some point, my parents passed them on to somebody else.
Oh,
and
no.
And that's it.
Yeah, they just
and that
just,
was it gone.
That's heartbreaking.
Well, yeah, my original set. I have the 12 in my other office. I got the original 12 with the original weapons, but and they're behind glass now in my office. But they're I had to recollect them all. They're not the ones I had as a kid. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, it's just yeah. So that did you play with your friends? Like, do you have was it one of these things that Star Wars was a thing?
Not so much, to be honest. I didn't really get as much chance to do that as I probably would like to do now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying very hard to not start collecting because I know it's a slippery slope. I can't
it's a very
just
good
get
choice.
One.
It's a very good choice, mate.
Okay.
I can't just buy one because when I do, that's it.
Well,
yeah.
On that point, JP, I understand you because I'm what they call a completionist. Now, I do TSW comics with Tim from the Nerd Room, and that's a monthly show on for TSW here, like this one is. And I started buying the Marvel as soon as Disney took over and started releasing Star Wars comics through Marvel. I have every single one hard paperback copy since it's come out like what 4 years ago now.
Wow.
So now every time, even when they print out like something ridiculous like the Mace Windu one, I have them all first run because I have to now because I got no choice. It's like I started this thing, and now even if I don't Poe Dameron, it started to get really bad in the middle, and now it's picked up again, and now it's going to end. But I had to hang on because I'm like, oh, if it was any other comic, I would have stopped pulling it. But because it's Star Wars and I have this completion, I have the whole set.
Yeah. Well, something that happened before the movie came out was we had in the UK, we had the Star Wars Weekly Marvel comic, which was 10 pence.
So yes.
Say 10 cents. And you, when I have my comics with me here. You bought the first issue, you bought the second issue, and then there was a little coupon that you could take to your newsagent.
Yeah.
And say, save me a copy every week. And of course, I didn't cut that coupon out. I just went into my newsagent and said, save me a copy every week. And that's the first time I think that I actually was aware of Marvel. Was the fact that Marvel were printing this epic run of Star Wars weeklies, and unfortunately, what started to happen was once A New Hope had finished in the run of comics, it started to go a little bit weird.
Yes,
you know, we started to get some very odd characters and strange events and some very peculiar stories. And but you know, I continued to get them every week for 10 pence.
Oh wow!
I mean.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And you know, then the novelizations came out, and the first novelization, which was obviously by George, and it followed up with Empire Strikes Back, which was written by Donald F. Gloot, I think his name was. And that was the other thing too, was that you noticed that they had different covers.
Yep.
So you had the white cover of the novelization. Then there was a yellow one, which was for young readers, and then there was a red cover.
So it was the beginning of variants, basically.
Yeah, it was like, I have to get all the different covered books. You know, maybe they got different pictures inside.
Of course, you have to.
But one thing about going back to figure collecting is that I do have some mocks, mint on cards, but I do value my loose collection more so because they were my figures, and I kept every weapon.
Absolutely.
You know, they were slightly played with, and I do see a lot of collectors that are doing upgrades where they sort of, you know, want something slightly better, cleaner, different variants. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about your own collecting, what you can afford, and just enjoy what you buy. And just enjoy it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And to wrap up the collecting here, I just got a couple notes, because if you want all your Star Wars toys, you can look back at the back catalog at the Toy Box, which Adam, you were a part of, and also Retro Inc. You guys cover a lot of this stuff too.
We do. You do
really deep dives. So we're gonna get back to the movie in a second here, but. As far as collecting, I was a guy that I have those Burger King glasses. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember them, Adam?
I do. Yeah, I do. I've got them in my toe mark guide.
Yeah, and they were a glass tumbler, and I recollected the original 12 from the OT movies. But for me, that Lando Cloud City glass, I remember watching cartoons and having my bowl of cereal and having my glass of milk. You mean? So for me, it's like you said about your figures that were yours when you played with as a kid. It's very... The nostalgia is so heavy with it. You mean? Because it means something to me. It's just anybody else. They're just, a bunch of Star Wars Burger King glasses? That's ridiculous. But for me, they have a certain... There's a meaning
value.
For a value.
Yeah, sentimental value.
Yeah. And what you were talking about all the comics that came out and the novels, Ben, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think of the radio dramas?
Oh.
There we go.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have hit the magic button, my friend.
I know.
I threw myself off because I was bracing for some sort of lewd comment from you after saying you hit the magic button. The radio drama, you know, I love A New Hope. It's my favorite, not even my favorite Star Wars movie. It's my favorite movie, just period, of all time. And I didn't think that I could love it anymore. And then I listened to NPR's radio dramas.
Yep.
It's super funky because you know, how long is A New Hope? Like 2 hours long? Somewhere in there?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. The radio adaptation of A New Hope is somewhere close to six.
Yeah.
Six hours. It is exactly 6 hours, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's got all these, like, because for whatever reason, Luke Skywalker is my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, what really kind of intrigues me about Luke is just kind of like his boring everyday life on Tatooine. I don't know what it is, but I want to know about his friends. I want to know about his relationship with his friends, what they do for fun. And it's like, obviously we know this stuff, but I want stories about it. And right. I'm completely willing to accept that I might be the only person who does.
No, you're not alone there.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So that's one of the reasons why I love those radio adaptations so much. And I've not actually read the novelization, but I think this might be I'm not sure. Are these like added scenes? Are they in the novelization as well?
No, they're not.
But, okay.
But you know, you're talking about Biggs and Kira and his friends, where he used to hang out in his little sort of bar club.
Yeah, Tosche Station.
Yeah, and him, you know, looking at the binoculars, looking at the sky, seeing this space battle above.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Going down to Tosche Station. Get some power converters.
Yes. Aww. Yeah, and who hasn't sat on their bed like Luke did, playing, you mean with a TIE fighter or with an X-Wing swinging?
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
So unfair.
It's not fair.
Oh, Biggs is right. I'm never going to get out of here. Okay. I don't know. There's those. They just add so much. All these extra scenes with, like a lot of the scenes in the radio adaptations are just like deleted scenes from A New Hope that I'm sure we've probably all seen at this, you know. And it's like there's a lot of really good character work with Biggs and Luke right before Biggs leaves, you know, to ship out on the Rand Ecliptic. And those are just some of my favorite scenes in all of Star Wars.
It makes the ending that when Biggs, spoilers, if you're listening to this, I can't believe why, when Biggs passes away at the end of the movie, just so I don't ruin it for everybody.
What?
It makes it that much more impactful when you know this, when you have this deep dive, right?
Yeah, you're just like, wow, Biggs was really like Luke's only good friend back home. And there's really not, and I understand, I actually watched the... rather than just watching the movie again to prepare for this, because I've seen it a million times, I watched it with the commentaries. It was the director of photography. It's whatever's on the Blu-ray. It was the director of photography, Carrie Fisher, George Lucas, and Ben Burtt.
Right.
Doing their commentaries. And I always kind of wondered, I'm like, okay, George, like I get why you cut these scenes out. Like I know why. Mm-hmm. They kind of slow down the movie. They're not super interesting to a lot of people. But I kind of was still like, man, I still wish you could have. And then he could have left him in. And I was really kind of surprised last night whenever he was talking about a lot of those scenes.
Yep.
And George was just like, yeah, they were stuff that I wanted in the movie, but they're not relevant to the story that he is trying to tell.
Right.
It's not the movie he wanted to make. And I'm like, yeah, you're totally right. If he's trying to tell the story through the lens of like R2 and 3PO, then having these scenes with Luke at the beginning, you're just like, okay, before they meet, it's like, okay, who's Luke? You know, it's obviously he gets introduced, but I have more respect for his decision to cut those out now. Not that I didn't before, but just because it's
of course,
it makes more sense with that rationale behind it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I still wish this was not the case, but you know, the radio adaptations will have to slake my thirst for that for now.
Have you guys, I'm sure you've seen where they slice together the end of Rogue One and right away into the deleted scene with Luke looking up at the sky and seeing a space battle and then the beginning of New Hope? Mm-hmm. Right back, like it's fantastic. So
it's great.
If you can YouTube it, check it out. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
It was Gil Taylor who was director of photography.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, it was someone else then. I don't know who it was. I can look that up. We can continue. I'll chime back in.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. So, okay. Now we can go on and on and on and on. Like, this is only an hour long podcast. It's just us reminiscing and talking about big points, like big broad strokes. So, I'm going to throw it to JP. Favorite parts of this movie? Like, what makes... You're a TSW VIP, and I'm assuming the original Star Wars or Star Wars A New Hope has a big part of that, why you're in this community. So what makes this particular movie, what sticks out? What's your highlights of it? If you can kind of put that in a couple sentences.
Wow. I think...
I know. It's a big one.
It's hard, isn't it? For me, it just hits so many great notes. You know, I love the humor of the droids at the start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bring you into the film so well. And then you get to the point where you introduce Luke and you meet Ben Kenobi. And it's the thrill of the film.
Yeah.
It just grabs you every time. I love every scene in the Death Star. And I love every scene when they're in the final shootout at the end. You can't. You just. It's.
Oh, it's yeah. I completely understand. Yeah. And this.
We get it.
I'm lost in a world of love of the film just thinking about it. You know.
Mm. Yeah. And I know exactly how you feel, and that's why we're here doing this retrospective, because it is. It started everything. Adam, how many times have you seen this movie, Adam?
Well, the last count was, I've said this before. There was a story, I've told it before. I had a bet with a friend that I couldn't watch it every day for a year. And I said, I'll beat that. I'll watch it every day, twice a day for a year.
And?
So, crazy. So this was on, and I'd already had it on VHS before that. So I know that I'm in the late 1200s now, possibly oh, wow. near enough to 1300. So for me, this film is in four parts. You know, you have obviously intro, going on to Tatooine, the meeting with Luke and Ben in the desert, going into then to the cantina,
mm-hmm.
Then on the Falcon, and then from the Falcon to the Death Star, and then from the Death Star to the Rebel base, and. All the bits in between that is just a joy to behold. Yes. I'm a 7-year-old boy, so obviously my hormones weren't quite, or testosterone wasn't quite there yet, but seeing Leia laying on that bench, a 14-year-old boy did certain things. I think the whole, you know, the myth of, and legends of, the teachings of Joseph Campbell to George Lucas was something that, as I was a much older guy, started to really understand the passing of the saber
right
to Luke, and this was your father's, and this is what he's going to take you on your journey, and here's the story. That part of all of that wasn't obviously there as a child, but certainly now entices me much more. Looking at the whole kind of where George was at, the whole Kurosawa. Watching not necessarily the hero and the heroine, but watching those guys, you know, the droids and their story and their telling of the story.
Yeah.
And of course in Jedi, that's exactly what we hear is 3PO telling the Ewoks
exactly.
the story.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
But, you know, I think certainly for me, the highlight has got to always have been, you know, the attack on the Death Star, seeing, a lot of X-Wings and Y-Wing fighters, losing Porg.
Yeah. And you know what?
Porg? Porg?
Huh.
What am I talking about? Yeah. It's a very difficult thing to pick a favorite scene from this film.
Yeah.
Really very, very hard. Very hard indeed.
And also too, and I know you're only 7, but come on, what do you think? Girl like that, guy like you, think there's a...
No.
Thank you, Ben.
Always used to make me super uncomfortable because I'm like, oh, that's just so awkward. Until I finally one day it clicked with me that Han is like just screwing with him.
Of course,
Han looks away and is just like laughing about it. And I'm like, oh, it's suddenly less awkward.
Yes, exactly. And this is long before hashtags, so it was I know it's disgusting, but it's a different time. Ben, broad strokes, New Hope.
Oh geez. I kind of struggle with the same. I have the same struggle of trying to pick like a favorite scene or like a favorite anything really. I think my favorite thing about the movie in a lot of ways is that it establishes so much about the Star Wars universe, like without trying. Because going back to those commentaries I was listening to last night, George Lucas is always talking about how a lot of fantasy movies spend, you know, hours like chewing the scenery and it's like explaining how things work in, you know, how a teleporter works, or things that you just don't need to know.
Right.
So he would rather, he's like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather just throw you into this universe that, and everything just works and you don't have to think about it. And just that's, and in doing that, he kind of, it's that all that stuff kind of gets filled in later, but it's, you can just think like, oh, everything just works. Well, it's
that,
great.
Yeah, and that's what they said too. There, I think didn't somebody mention that they're like, oh, shouldn't we have a scene where two guys are talking on the side and you see Vader, you mean, enter stage right and then go, oh, that's the Sith Lord, like to kind of clue in the audience. But George is like, no. He's taller than everybody else. He's dressed in black and he's choking people. He's
not a good guy. I mean, no one is going to believe that he is the good guy. You know, it's like, that's not a problem. And plus kind of going like on an emotional level, A New Hope is like, you know, I've always known it as A New Hope. I don't want to be an imposter here, but I will frequently just refer to it as Star Wars. You know, it's like, because it is A New Hope and it's like, that's what George always wanted it to be. And I will, you know, some people are weird about that and but I will defend his decision to do that. Yeah. Because that's what I don't want to talk about the special editions, but real quickly, like my thinking is that he was finally able to make the movies the way he wanted to, and I might disagree with some of those changes, not many, but a few,
right?
And I'm okay with the way things ended up because of that, but just emotionally, the movie is just, it's Star Wars at its purest, you know, it's like, it's just good versus evil. You've got all these great characters that are somehow like just character archetypes that are somehow spun into so much more. And I just kind of, I can't remember who said it earlier, but someone was just like, you know, getting lost in that well of emotion, just thinking about the movie.
Yeah.
I could speak entirely in quotes from that movie. But it's always small things that, like, anytime it's like someone's like, oh, no one cares about this thing. And I'm like, well, I care.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like little, tiny little, and it's just like no one knows that's a Star Wars quote but me. But I just, it's hard to analyze the movie because I've got it so close to my heart, you know.
Well, of course, and like you said, like with those little quotes, it's almost like a secret handshake that whenever you're somewhere and you drop it, and then somebody lifts their eyes from their glass across the room and go, hey, give me the wink, like give me the raise the glass to me, like I got that.
And that's what I love, because it's always those little things like that. And obviously there are the big ones that are like that everyone quotes from the movie.
Of course.
You just can't say it came from behind.
Yeah, no.
that you can't say.
Oh,
in many
man.
Places, can you?
Well, no. and even now, especially with the quote, like I was rewatching it just for this retrospective, and I got to the part where Leia is like, "Get this big walking carpet out of my way," and I automatically think of the Skyhoppers because that's your sign off at the end of your podcast. And there's so many things about it that now it's because of podcasting and because of our online, even without podcasting, these are the online community. For better or worse, the better parts, it's like now we have this extra, like these friends from all over the world that you interact with. And it's like, it's because of this movie. It's because of what happened.
It's nuts. It's 41 crazy years to think ago. About. Crazy to think about that. The fact that this thing has like, that like consumes my life. And I spent so much time thinking about it was just a movie, you know? It was a movie that it cost, like, what, $13 million to make in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought George Lucas thought he wouldn't even be able to make the rest.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, George, my sweet summer child. You had no idea what you were getting into.
No, absolutely. Well, okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump off from there. And again, New Hope, Star Wars. Again, we're not doing a retrospective on the special editions, but there are a huge part of our Star Wars universe. And I'm going to start it off by saying I have no problem with them. I have my original DVD copies of, or even the VHS copies of the original trilogy, and especially this movie, Star Wars. George Lucas didn't come knock on my door and take them. I have them. You mean? And you know, he's fairly old. I think I could take him if he tried. I think I'd be okay. I'd be heartbroken, but you can't have.
But you got to do what you got to do.
You can't have him, George. And it's the same thing. We can get in the conversation about legends, like that Mickey Mouse and knock on your door and then take your legends off your shelves and run away with them. Like, these things can still be enjoyed. But what I do like about the special editions was the point you made, Ben. He got to go back and make the movie he wanted. And when I have that Blu-ray set, which is now bigger because of the Disney purchase.
Yeah.
But when I have that original trilogy and prequel trilogy Blu-ray set, I can watch them in order or in machete order, or I can watch them in OT or release order, and they flow way better. And they're way more easier to introduce somebody to the saga than having the original movies.
Absolutely.
JP, what are your thoughts on them remaking or polishing up the Star Wars movies? Or does it turn you off, or is it one of are you for it?
It's a bit of a turn off for me, to be honest. I watching it today, everything feels fine, and then you get to the scene in Mos Eisley and there's all the extra bits and the comedy. Mm-hmm. It just jars. It feels out of place.
It is jarring because the CG wasn't quite there. Again, but that was
exactly
what,
yeah.
So I understand that, but what do you? So do you understand? Like, you don't know why George did it, or what do you are like?
Yeah, of course. Like, I get it. I understand it. And thankfully, I do have my earlier versions to get me by. I understand it. I don't particularly appreciate it though.
Well, no, and also too, but you're a father yourself too, and I'm sure introducing the saga to your kids is way easier with a little bit of, like, without having the cardboard cutout stand, like, soldiers in the award ceremony, like.
Yeah. He still thinks at the moment that every droid is BB-8 at the moment. I'm trying to explain to him, no, it's R2.
Yeah.
And then next time he comes up, BB-8. No.
It's R2. Hey, I'm the same way. I have my little girl, Charlie. She's a year and a half, and she calls R2 beep beep. And because I'm an astromech builder, I have beep beep sitting in my garage. Like, he's half done, but he's got his legs on. He looks like he's. I pull the cloth off him like anybody. You know, you walk into somebody's garage and they got a hot rod and they pull the sheet off the car or the bike. Yeah. I got an R2 beeping away there at you. Like, it's like, can you be a bigger nerd? Like, it's like, well, you know what? I stopped giving a care what people think or that, whatever. It's an R2. Yeah. And you know what? When I got the garage door open on a Sunday afternoon and I got the hood popped open on R2 and I'm working on them, I get more thumbs up from people walking by than anybody with a Corvette or a motorcycle. I swear to God, I get more double takes.
I believe it.
They're like, what? Is that really? What the? Anyway, so JP, I completely understand what you mean. I was skeptical when I was getting the re-release, but then again, it's, you know, it was Star Wars. But after a while, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's, I get it, I get why it's there, and it flows. You mean so? But I completely understand what you mean. There's something I pop in those old ones every once in a while. It's like, even the color of the lightsabers is just strikes you differently, you know. The effects, there are some of them. The mistakes in the movie, aside from the cardboard cutout military at the medal ceremony, are like the jarring special effects from 1977 are just as jarring as how the special editions look on like a higher grade TV now.
Yeah,
I mean, they hit the eye a little odd. Like, they're like, ooh, that sticks out a little bit. Adam, special editions. Yep. Where are they on your
heart? The first time where we see anything of the special editions is when we see the Dubaks.
Yeah,
and we see this Imperial craft land. We see a very dodgy looking sand trooper sitting on top of a Dubak.
And he finds.
But
a
it
ring.
Does give us a little bit more of more Imperials, which is always good. I think if you're going to watch. You know, for kids, certainly, they're going to be watching the prequels, and it is definitely going to flow better because they are getting a similar CG. Mm-hmm. I have the theatrical cuts on many different versions and devices, and I watch them regularly. So I know where they are, Yeah, I think the Jabba scene is very difficult when, you know, he's saying you're a wonderful human being when clearly he's not.
Yes.
But obviously we know who Jabba was. It was this guy wearing a big furry coat.
Yeah, and the step over the tail is a little
it's just a little dodgy.
But look, you know, at the end of the day he put in some things in there which would have just made it look a little bit more modern. And I, you know, what equally I find it just as annoying and funny and amusing and good to look at as I do the theatrical cuts. I must admit, though, when we get to Death Star, seeing that haze going around the models as they're flying,
yes,
and it's all nice and clean and crisp, I appreciate that, and I do love that moment when we see the first wave of those X-Wings, and there's many, many of them. It's a beautiful shot.
And you can actually make out the R2 on the X-Wing, and it pans over, of course,
I mean, it looks great, but it doesn't bother me at all. They don't bother me. I remember when they came out, went to the cinema, and I was thrilled. I was looking everywhere. What else is new? Luckily we didn't get any more gore on Beru and Owen. It was just barbecue. Enough, that was cool. That was enough. But I'm cool with them, man. I'm cool with them.
Excellent. Yeah, because and again, I know this is the Star Wars 77 retrospective, but it is a part of Star Wars, and it is a huge part of this universe.
I mean, you can be very purist about it. But then when you become a purist, you stop getting more critical and skeptical, and I don't like that. I think it's all to be if you're a real true Star Wars fan, you should be positive.
Exactly.
So you appreciate everything that's coming your way, and if they later on decide to go back and fix a few things in The Last Jedi or Solo in 30, 40 years time, just to make it look a little bit better, I'll be cool with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just like I said, it makes it flow a little better. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? This is a single 1 hour or just a little over podcast. We can't get into every little minutia of the movie. This is just four guys talking about a movie that we love and different parts, but I'm going to throw it around the table one more time. And I'm going to ask, like, just, okay, you have this Star Wars, and let's say, how do you explain it to a 14-year-old? You mean, like, Ben, you have a cousin or somebody, and you love this universe, and here's this movie, and with everything else out there today, what separates this movie from having a 14-year-old watch Transformers and go, oh, like, I don't think somebody's going to look back and go, oh, that first Transformers movie, that's where it started for me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to talk down other franchises, but I just can't see it.
I know. This is kind of, I don't know. I feel like in a lot of ways you're asking me to ask a question that people have asked for, 41 years at this point and still haven't quite answered. Yeah. What is it about Star? I don't know. I feel like a great way. The way I feel like I could sum it up best is like, okay, well, it's kind of like Star Trek, except it happened a long time ago. Everything is dirty and there's magic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, I don't know. I don't know how I could try to sell someone.
It's just like Game of Thrones. You got a long time ago. You got fights, you got swordplay, you got magic, you got incest, really? It's exactly like Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. I do a weekly podcast where we're full of those jokes, but sometimes it slips into my round tables. So, but I completely understand what you're saying. JP, your kid, like you said, he's calling R2 BB-8, but how do you, when he's a little older, how are you going to explain this phenomena to him?
It's about letting him see this and saying, well, this started everything. Everything you see now and everything that's come before has all linked to this movie. Every idea of sci-fi movies comes from this. and letting him just immerse himself with everything that is special about it, and letting you telling them about what you love so much. So just talking about the X-Wings and how they fly through space and how they can have such an impact, and Darth Vader, and isn't he evil, and Princess Leia, isn't she gorgeous?
You know, I hear you. Yeah, that's well said. It's something. It's like, I understand this question I'm throwing around. I know where it may, to the average listener, if you've just happened upon this podcast, like, you're like, whoa, these guys are pretty into this movie. Well, of course we are. But, I mean, to those people, I apologize. But to the people on this roundtable now, it's almost like me asking, what's the meaning of life? Like, yeah. It's you can't quite put your finger on it. But I'm going to throw it at Adam. Again, like, wrap it all up. What's your... How do you explain this thing? What is it?
If somebody said, what's Star Wars about? I'd say, well, it's about a young boy called Luke Skywalker who is bored on a planet where nothing happened, and he dreamt of distant worlds and planets, but he got more than he bargained for when he gets a cryptic message from a droid about a beautiful princess that's held captive by a dark, powerful lord of the Sith. And he doesn't know who she is, and he has to go and save her. And he meets an old man who gives him a lightsaber, which was his father's. And he goes on an adventure and meets more friends. And eventually he destroys a giant planet that they are all living on. I don't know, something like that.
No, but, it's a modern day fairy tale, really. It is.
You know, it is. So, I mean, you've got it, if you're going to tell it to a child, I mean, you have to tell it like it's a fairy tale, and it absolutely is. You have the five archetypes in there. You've got the hero, the princess. You've got the magician chap who says, take this on your journey. You have the guy who's, you know, your friend, but not sure if he's your friend. Mm-hmm. And then you have the antagonist, and it's all there. And the wonderful thing about this movie, and I'm going to boast here and brag that this is a British film. Okay. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, it is. It was filmed here. There's a lot of British actors in it, and it was always wonderful that when you were watching late night TV with your parents, they go, "That's that man in that Hammer, that film, in, you know, that Hammer film, that horror movie, he's in Star Wars." You know, you recognize a lot of the cast, Alec Guinness, of course, and Peter Cushing. And we had a very tall man come around to our school dressed in green with a big cross on his chest. Dave Prowse, this was, who was the Green Cross code man, teaching us how to cross the road and not get hit by cars. And I knew him as Darth Vader. So I remember going up to him saying, "You're Darth Vader," you know.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know,
love it.
Yeah. I mean, I've done my top 10 movies, not just on Retro Inc. podcast, but, you know, I'm constantly sort of shuffling a few movies around in my top 10 or top 20, but Star Wars will always be my number one. A New Hope.
Fantastic.
It still brings tears to my eyes in places too, actually. I still feel very, very sentimental with this movie. And, you know, I watch it once a week. Without fail. So, and I've fallen asleep. It's got me through some very hard times. I put it on my earplugs, on my earphones, and I've listened to it and fallen asleep to it many, many times. Mm-hmm. And it's been my savior. It's literally, you know, Mr. Lucas saved my life more than once.
Fantastic. And you know what? I'm super proud and happy that we're gonna end it there. We're gonna tell everybody where to find everybody first, but. This is, again, I know we didn't get into the beat by beat of the movie, but this is what Star Wars started everything. Ben, you're this, you mean, kid from Indiana, and for some reason we got a date to go to Chili's, not a date, you know, a bro date, like in next Ooh, April.
Oh my.
Oh boy. Right. Ooh. You're 25, right? Okay. You're not. Okay. Anyway. No, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, you guys, it's so many people, and Star Wars for me, and I had this little, kind of crude fart joke podcast, and I wiggled my way on to talk Star Wars with this roundtable because I desperately wanted to talk Star Wars, and I desperately wanted a Star Wars podcast that I could, and this roundtable gives me the chance to talk to Adam and Ben, and especially guys like JP, like listeners of podcasts, and we all get to sit around and for us, I know this particular episode, it is a retrospective, but we didn't get into a ton of minutia because it's the one that started everything. It means that much to us, and it's given us all this. So it's really awesome to us, and I really appreciate everybody listening, and I hope you enjoyed our little banter, and we can make this a 10-part series and
forever.
There'll be parts where we're blubbering and crying, so
yeah.
But before we go, I'm gonna pass around the table real quick. JP, somebody's listening to this podcast and they want to get a hold of you and they just want to talk Star Wars to you, where can they find you anywhere online? Can they hit you up on a Twitter or Facebook or?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter as Drumbanger, and otherwise on Facebook, or I'm in the Talk Star Wars VIP community as well.
That's the best way. Become a VIP for Talk Star Wars, and then boom, you get to talk to all of us over there at Talk Star Wars, and every day if you flick on the group, it's Star Wars conversation. So I'm much like Ben. Where can they find you? Because we're in a separate group too. We're in a Discord group.
Yeah, I am all over the place. To be entirely honest, you can find me on Twitter at ferretliciously. Don't ask me what that means, because honestly, I couldn't tell you. I just like ferrets. I do a Star Wars podcast that is part of the Commonwealth with my friend Ash, called the Skyhoppers Podcast. That show is a ton of fun. If you're looking to get away from all the stodgy old men doing shows in the Star Wars Commonwealth, come check out Skyhoppers. We are SW Skyhoppers on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. I'm Ferret Breeder on Instagram, if you're interested in that. I also have another podcast I do with a friend of mine, Cole, called Obroa Skywalkers, which is a Star Wars book club podcast in the vein of like Rogue Podrin, if anyone's listened to Rogue Podrin. And we are finishing up our jaunt through the Han Solo trilogy. That's been a ton of fun. That show's a ton of fun. Even if you're not reading along, we give a pretty good plot synopsis, so you know what's going on in the book. That is Obroa Skypod on Twitter. And I think that's about it.
Excellent. And you can catch both Ben and I on the floor at Celebration 2019 in Chicago.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, so you can hit us up there. Adam, the newest member of the Star Wars Commonwealth, tell everybody about the show and tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, myself and my co-host and good friend Andy, we are Retro Ink Podcast, and you can contact us at contact@retroinkpodcast.co.uk. I'm also on Twitter at Sheldon Adam and Instagram at Adam Jedi Sheldon. Facebook would be the Talk Star Wars Facebook page, as well as a TSW Toy Box. But a little bit of plugging. On Retro Ink, episodes 10, 11, and 12, we did a retrospective on the original trilogy, as well as the prequels and those Disney sequels. So do go to a Retro Ink podcast and subscribe and like our Facebook page. That'd be really fantastic. And thank you very much, Rob, for having me and having us on this round table.
My pleasure. My pleasure, guys. And just real quick, I'm Rob, and you can find me on Twitter at RobertMMCast. You can find my weekly show that is not Star Wars and not exactly PG, but if you're in for a laugh, it's something different. My good buddy Roman and I put it on. That is Roman Poddingcast. You can find us on Twitter at the Roman Poddingcast, and it's just a good time. And of course, I just recorded at TSW Comics this morning. My good friend Tim, all the way from Calgary in the Nerd Room. We do a monthly comic show for TSW, and you'll catch that on the TSW network, and you'll see that'll be released along with this roundtable throughout. It's kind of like Talk Star Wars has the main show, and we're just kind of fringe outer rim shows that kind of cling on here and get ourselves onto the into the Commonwealth and onto the show. So again, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. I don't think I'd be hard pressed to pick a better group of people to discuss the Star Wars, especially Ben and Adam and JP, with all our different perspectives and how we fell into it and what it means to us. And again, thank you, listeners, for listening to part four of the retrospective. And stay tuned.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
Always.
Oh, I couldn't have ended it better. All right, guys. So until the next roundtable or retrospective, Empire Strikes Back. Woo. We will see you next time. Later.